This is Stories Worth Sharing from the Church of England.
Julie Jones, Lichfield Diocesan Secretary, discusses the need and impact of simplification. Julie, can you describe what you do as a Diocesan Secretary and how the diocese supports parishes?
I think I see my work as twofold. Firstly, overseeing all matters of governance, not just elections to key synods and committees, but also ensuring their terms of reference enable everything we do to be aligned to our diocesan culture and missional priorities. So synod and council agendas always lead on matters of mission and ministry, and then complemented by financial and wider governance issues. So in governance terms, we're clear that everything is driven by our mission. And then secondly, as chief officer, I'm working really closely with the bishop. And we work hard to set the tone and culture of the diocese. Specifically, we're majoring on prayer, building warm, hospitable relationships, cross-boundary working, and ongoing learning and development. For the last 7 years, our mantra as a diocesan office has been putting parishes first, because we see that parishes are at the coalface, if you like, the units that make mission and ministry happen on the ground. And the central sector staff and administration are only there to help them make that happen. I think too often the diocesan office is seen as the enemy, as it were, taking money away in parish share and setting difficult legal constraints that prevents change and progress. So we corporately are bending over backwards to change that perception so that all officers, including myself, make themselves available for parishes, try to offer flexible support and resources. And I think we're seeing the fruit of building genuine supportive relationships. And I think we're closing the unhelpful gap that exists that sort of called us and them. So we support treasurers with practical support and regular training days. We develop teams to get alongside parishes that are having difficulty paying their share. We provide site visits from the DAC to help plan faculty applications and discuss all the implications of changing buildings. We offer locally based discipleship courses. We design and deliver training for school governors. We're building dementia-friendly networks and trying to bridge the gap between the rich and the poor. We design mission weekends, resourced by our mission department, that include proactive work with the noughts to 35s. Reaching new generations is a real mantra too. And I think we try to understand how tricky it can be for parishes to be an employer. So we offer resources and practical guidance on recruitment, induction, and even exit strategies when they're having problems with staff.
You mentioned about local churches being the mission and ministry of the Church of England. And renewal and reform is all about helping them. What sort of barriers have there been in the way, in particular in church rules, that needed to be changed?
And, you know, that is such a massive question. And I think barriers are many and varied. I mean, sometimes it's merely a question of complex, arcane language needing to be redrafted. Many times, it's legislative complexity which can act as a barrier to innovation, perhaps an experimentation, and I think it can frustrate the churches on the ground, their missionary calling. So when you add the language and the legislative complexity together, it sort of feels like mission impossible for people and becomes unhelpfully restricted in facilitating change. I mean, some examples might be around governance models. How can they be adapted and made more flexible to allow parishes to adapt to their own resourcing and geographical constraints? That means we need to make changes to church representation rules, electoral roles, that kind of thing. There's been things in the ecclesiastical terms of service regulations that have prevented us extending title posts or even making interim appointments on common tenure. You know, there's very complex sickness reporting for clergy that we just simply can't make happen on the ground. The statement of particulars for non-stipendiary or self-supporting ministers are ludicrously complex, and so we need to simplify those. The capability guidelines are 59 pages long. Can we really make that happen appropriately?
And finally, what sort of things do you think will now be possible as the result of simplification? And do you think this will offer the church a hopeful future?
Yes, I mean, I think we've worked really hard on simplification to come up, if you like, with almost our own mission statement and set of values. And so I think what we hope is going to happen is that we're going to enable and encourage more ministry and more mission to support growth, both in numbers, in discipleship, in fellowship and relationship to the community, to help the church to be the church in every locality, to try to build capacity for strategic planning and the management of change. That's new language in the church, I think. To be proactive, to quickly identify issues that need addressing. And then really to be values-led, and we've named four values. Subsidiarity, in ensuring that only those functions that need to be exercised at national level are retained at that level, and everything else is devolved to the local. Diversity, reflecting what it means to be a mixed economy and a mixed context church. Flexibility. We've got to enable a can-do positive approach to problem solving. And finally, simplicity, cutting through complex language and expressing our legal framework in simple, comprehensible terms.
That was a story worth sharing from the Church of England. Thanks for listening.